Omikatinanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksirindatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Vikashindu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Gadadha Srivastava Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. We just had a group here with Raghunath and Kasuba, about 25 people from America, mostly from the New York area. And again, the magic of India, the magic of Vrindavan. We had our closing ceremony next door in the ashram of Indrajumna Swami on his roof. It's very beautiful with these beautiful Radha Govinda deities, and I organized a cultural presentation for them of classical kirtan and mantra chanting and really wonderful Odissi dance by the daughter of the people that take care of the house. And in the end, we had kirtan and people meditated on their favorite places and how they felt there. And I've never seen a program with so many people just in tears from the transformatory experience that they had. So I've been pretty much on the go, and on this Wednesday night class, I just kind of share with you a little bit, because I can't even spend that much time, share with you a little bit of the katha that we're having. I'm now doing the story of killing the Banakasura. I did it before, but I think there's new insight. And of course, it's a significant pastime because Krishna, when he gets to the age of 6, which is called Poganda, on the Gopastami day of the Kartik, he gets to take care of the cows, and he gets to go to the forest of Vrindavan. And we see the forest of Vrindavan. And the forest of Vrindavan is the internal potency. And the internal potency means that it's moving towards Krishna with love. Vrindavan is the pure environment where everything has the mood of service. It's the most exalted environment because that's what exaltation is. Once something becomes great by its capacity for love. One is not great simply by their capacity for power, but the capacity for love. And that's in fact what makes Krishna great. Otherwise, the capacity for power is there in all the incarnations. But what makes Krishna the supreme incarnation, the supreme, not only incarnation, the avatari, not just the avatar, one who descends, but the avatari, the source of all avatars. What makes Krishna the original personality of Godhead? The capacity to exchange in all relationships. But Vrindavan is that potency, it's Krishna's internal potency. It's moving for his pleasure intentionally. And to please Krishna, it manifests the supreme object of the senses as an expression of love. That Krishna in that forest of Vrindavan, when he sees the beauty, he hears the sounds, he touches the soft grasses, he feels the, he smells the fragrance, and he tastes the lusciousness of the fresh fruits and vegetables, his heart becomes filled with devotion, and his heart becomes filled with the inspiration to exchange that devotion with the residents of Vrindavan. His heart, Pitti Mana, becomes satisfied and inspired to enjoy Vrindavan. And therefore he frolics through the fields of Vrindavan and the bees, drinking the taste of Vrindavan, drinking the taste of Krishna's lotus feet. The bees close their eyes in ecstasy and begin to sing, and Krishna imitates the bees. And the cowherd boys follow Krishna along that beautiful path. And the cowherd boys do kirtan. So in this way, Vrindavan is the supreme expression of love, because it is composed of that internal potency, the essence of which is Ladini Shakti, the essence of which is Krishna praying. And as Krishna enjoys through the forest of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys are dancing in such a way that it makes the Vidyadharas, the heavenly dancers, shameful, and they begin to sing with a melted heart in the appropriate melodies for the appropriate occasion. And Chennai slowly, gradually, with devotion, they begin to sing in a way that ridicules the Vrindavas. And sport, and Krishna's holding Balaram's hand affectionately, and they're cheering on and appreciating. And then, when Krishna and Balaram become tired, the cowherd boys pick up leaves and branches, and they make forest beds, and then Krishna prefers to put his head on their lap. And in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose feet are massaged by the Goddess of Fortune, enjoys like an ordinary village boy in Vrindavan. Meaning that one enjoys more. The love is very intimate than one enjoys when the love is reverential. The President of the United States enjoys the intimate dealings with the family more than he does the hail to the chief worship of the citizens. Because the love that does not have a cause of opulence is more pure and forceful. But still, Krishna exhibits in Vrindavan his Isha Cheshtita, his behavior and activities of God. To create the mood of service that forms the pot in which the sweetness of love is contained. And that's what the pastime of Dana Kotsur is. Krishna's friends want to, in that friendship spirit, and inspired by the pastime potency of Krishna, in that pastime spirit, they want to inspire Krishna's heroic acts. And this is an impetus for their own friendship, because friends become nourished in their, especially young boys, become nourished in their friendship by chivalrous activity by their friends. So they inspire Krishna, and they say there are tasty and excellent fruits in this forest. But this Duratmana, this bad-minded person, this Duratmana, this evil-minded person, he won't allow anyone to enjoy those fruits. So this is the characteristic of small or bad-minded, materialistic or selfish, that your desire is superiority. You want to feel superior to others. That's the natural outcome of attachment to the mind and body. We get the mind and body to forget we are servants of God. And we don't want to be devotees. And therefore, when we don't want to be devotees, and therefore don't want to be what we are by constitution, we assume the identity of the enjoyer and controller by the potency of inspiration of the illusory potency. Our consciousness falls into the delusion that we're the enjoyer and controller, and that becomes the prime motivating force in our life. We're always positioning ourselves in the center. We're always thinking about our desires. We see others in that relationship. And in that particular consciousness, we don't experience the pleasure of love, which is pleasure because it's God's Shakti of potency. So when one has materialistic consciousness, they want superiority, and the symptom of superiority is that one enjoys more than others. The materialistic person, his pleasure is in position. His pleasure is in the accoutrements of power. His pleasure is in profit, admiration, and distinction. And his pleasure is in the superiority that I enjoy more than others. And they're such demoniac people, they don't like others to enjoy. Even if they can't enjoy something themselves, they don't want others to enjoy. And therefore, these palm fruits are rotting on the ground. But still, this man eating Dana Kotsur, will not relinquish and not share with others. Materialistic consciousness, the ugly consciousness of not thinking of others, being concerned only with oneself, therefore, in the Vedic culture, which tries to cultivate and bring one to the mood of purity and selflessness. In that Vedic culture, before Grihastha eats, he goes outside of his door and calls three times, "Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry?" So, the cowherd boys want to inspire Krishna. They're saying that we are lobhita, we are greedy for these lush fruits that we can smell because it's the month of Shravan and the easterly winds are blowing, and they're blowing from Palavan in the east direction across to the, carrying them to the winds from the east are carrying the fragrance of those fruits, and they're so excellent and delicious. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, we very rarely get the opulence of God's creation in terms of pure fruit and vegetables, and therefore our level of enjoyment is very much reduced. I remember when I was deathly ill in Italy about 20 years ago, deathly ill in Italy, and I was in the hospital, and I recovered, and when I recovered, because I hadn't eaten in 8 days, they brought me some fruits. And Italy is heavenly when it comes to fruit and vegetables, I guess by its positioning geographically. And they brought one orange into the room, and that orange overwhelmed the sense of smell. To this day, I can remember the fragrance of that orange. But easterly winds, the month of Shravan, also means in the month of Shravan when those fruits ripen, and they're delicious, and they say, we're greedy for these fruits. You're greedy about your pay if you think it's a good idea. But actually, the coward boys are not, cannot be greedy for anything else but the pleasure of Krishna. So really what their desire is that Krishna has the pleasure of fighting with the demons and overcoming the demons. So when they ask Krishna this, Krishna smiles. And Krishna's smile, Krishna's recognition of us as his servant, Krishna's smile, Krishna's recognition of us as his servant means that material suffering is finished, because all material suffering is forgetfulness of God, because material suffering does not happen in reality. Material suffering happens actually in illusion. Even though we feel pain, we're not hurting. We're suffering due to identification. Pain is also relative, even on the body. People can become, in their minds, absorbed in something else and transcend that thing. You have to be detached from the false ego. You have to be detached from the body. So as the body is a product of a lack of surrender to Krishna, a lack of desire to become his servant, then suffering is alleviated by reestablishing a relationship with Krishna. Madhva Acharya says, come on in. Hey, Vrindavan. One second. Really, that kitchen has to be cleaned up. It's like answering so many things. Okay? And cut up quite a bit of food because we have so much. If there's a pot there or something, because we can, there's some people here too. We can have a lot of it. Okay? And set up my, I'll do it if I'll do it in a minute. Okay, that's it. Madhvacharya, very interesting comment. He says, the amount of tears that we have shed in our sojourn in material existence can fill an ocean. And those tears are eradicated by the smile of Krishna, the acceptance of ourselves as his servants again. Greatest suffering is death, which is an illusion of non-existence due to the fact of identifying with the false ego. When one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, especially through siddha bhakti activities purely composed of devotion, and one is chanting and hearing sincerely, then one is acting and identifying on the platform of the soul, which doesn't die. And therefore, people who absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness transcend the dualities of this world. They become fearless. Most even suffering is mental. It's not pain, it's the fear of pain. Of course there is pain also, no doubt. And some people have that karma, and it's very unfortunate. Anyway, we've been reading these pastimes. I have my class downstairs. Trostas here from the Sangha. Mother Kalini comes every day. Deepa Nagari is here. Some of you may know him, but he's taking Shastra every day to a forest. They're visiting all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Anyway, somehow or other in my schedule in the morning, I have to begin other things now. Would anybody like to say hello? And if anybody has a question, I welcome that.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vrajarada Devadasi.
Rajarathe, Rajarathe, Hare Krishna, see you soon. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? One more person? Okay, anyway, I have to go, but thank you all. I'm sorry it's so short, but in India, it's kind of, I'm not in control of my own time. There's many, many people here, many things I have to attend to. Okay, thank you.